I'm gonna start a series today on relationships, and I know it'll be at least a three-part, maybe a four-part, and it's extremely practical. It's the official title, which I made slides and then I left the thumb drive at home, so you might actually have to break out your Bible today, find the verses, so feel free. But it's Access Heaven, Transform Your Relationships, because even in my marriage, like probably maybe some of you have been in relationships, usually it's a long-term relationship, where you lose hope that things could change. And it's usually long-term, like you can't ditch your children, right? You're not my son anymore. You're too much trouble. No, we can't ditch long-term relationships. And sometimes I think of it like garbage builds up. Like when our older kids are at home, Judah doesn't do it so much, but the garbage in the kitchen would fill up, the little one, and then they would tie it up, the garbage bag, and throw it into the garage. Like, it was too much trouble to open the garage door and take it all the way out to the big can. And I think of it like long-term relationships can get to be like a garage where someone's been doing that for 5 years, and the garbage just builds up. There's rotten stuff out there that you just close the door and hope it goes away. But it doesn't. It just stinks more. And it can start affecting the way I treat or the way I relate to my long-term relationships, especially, but it could be any person. What I'm going to talk about today is heavenly relationships. Father, even when I say that, I feel that grace come into the room. We welcome grace on relationships today. You're not just a vertical God, you're a horizontal God too. And we thank you that for that. Grace today for horizontal. I would be the last person, when I pray that, I think I'm the last person that should be preaching this message. Like, if you cut me open and look inside, as much as I hate to admit it, there's a cat in there that wants to just hide under the bed and scratch people if they try to pull me out. But God is like pestering all of us. He is pestering us. He's after us about relationships, because relationships to God are sacred. They're not your relationship. So get your hands off of it. It's almost like the Lord saying, get your hands off that. Let me help you with that. And the garbage, we need to take the garbage out. Because we can start to actually, a resentment and a can start to build in us to where we expect the other person to hurt us. And it's in the atmosphere. You know, there's hostility in the atmosphere before a word is said. And like, you can't just hide this stuff inside. Like, you're driving in the car. Have you ever been driving in the car with your whole family? You're full of humans in there, and all of a sudden, hey, roll the windows down. And everybody's saying, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. That's how resentment and these negative expectations on people, you don't have to say them. We know that, phew, I can smell it. It's in the atmosphere. So how do you take the garbage out? Here's how, because if you think about God, God has a lot of long-term relationships. He ain't writing nobody off. And people do a lot of stuff to hurt him. Idol worship and things like that. And how does he get rid of that pain? Because he's got atheists that he still pours out goodness on people that don't like him. People that are, when you've been mad at him, he's still blessing you, he's still pouring it. Because how does he transcend all that hurt and pain? It's Psalms 103. I'm going to read through it. Says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He lets it go somehow, right? He does not deal with us according to our sins. Even though he ought to, This is old covenant right here. This is the essence of who he is not a punishing God. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Like, you did that to me? Okay, I'm going to do this to you. Oh, I'm going to do this to you. And he doesn't get into that. He transcends it. For as the heavens are above, high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love. He's always keeping his love on towards us, toward those who revere him. So far as the east from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. So he has a place to put our transgressions, and he puts them, he sends them away, and he puts them, you know, the sea of forgetfulness, it really isn't in the Bible, but that's it might as well be, what, because as far, how far is the east from the west? They've never touched. And that's how far he can get rid of our transgressions. You know, the Greek word for forgive is the word, it's a nautical word they use from untying the boat from a dock. So I'm going to send that boat away. I'm going to send that those transgressions away. Where are they? They're gone. That is, how does God stay pristine and holy? By forgiving. He forgives. And his supernatural power, we're going to end up praying into this. His supernatural power to forgive is now ours. We'll get to that in a minute. So, think about, I want to think of a real life example of this. And it's in Nehemiah 9, 17 through 20, if you want to turn there. Nehemiah is actually rehearsing the golden calf incident. Remember, the children of Israel get ravished by God, God's love. He didn't just set them free from Israel. He so threatened systematically every Egyptian god until the Egyptians were done. They said, "Here, take our money, just go." And they, the Israelites, left with their pockets heavy with, you know, their treasure chests full of money because of what God did for them. So it's not just their memory. They've got proof there. Moses, they go to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up on this scary mountain. He's disappeared for a while. What do? We want to put our trust back in the God of Egypt. Now, to God, if you, you know, in Scripture, to God, this is the equivalent of a woman cheating on her husband. That's the way he puts it. Like, you've been unfaithful to me. I poured out all my love on you. And so God experienced pain. This was painful for him, for them to do this to them. You know, they took the very jewels and the very gold that were that the Egyptians had given them, and had Moses made the golden calf. So I'm just going to start reading verse 17. They refused to obey. They were not mindful of the wonders that you performed among them, but they stiffened their necks and determined to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God ready to forgive. Think about it. He's ready to forgive. Like, I want that. I want that power. He doesn't like, sometimes we'll talk to people and say, you know, ask them, are you ready to forgive? I'm not ready to forgive yet. Like, when are you going to get tired of the chains? Because that was the first slide I made, was this chains breaking. Like, well, when you get tired of drinking arsenic, let me know. God is, he knows that, and he's always ready. Let's get rid of that. Ready to forgive, and gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, you did not forsake them. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get hurt, that's the first thing I want to do is, okay, fine. Okay. Christina, Ken, are you okay? I'm fine. Like, I want to pull back and pull away. You know, some people go on the attack, turn into T-Rex. But God doesn't do that. He stays engaged and he keeps his love on towards them, even when he's been hurt. How does he do that? Because he forgives. He's ready to forgive. Even when they had cast an image of a calf for themselves and said, "This is our God who brought us out of Egypt." Oh, that must have really hurt his heart. And he had compassion. And they had committed great blasphemies. You, in your great mercies, did not forsake them. He just keeping his love on. He kept that pillar of fire going. He kept the cloud protecting them. That's God's supernatural power to forgive. And how we handle anger is huge to God. And we're talking to hopefully all born-again Christians in here. So everyone in here has been born again of our daddy's nature. In fact, Jesus referenced loving our enemies as a sign that you are sons of him. So Jesus is talking about this kingdom culture that he's bringing. He's bringing this kingdom, this Hebrews 4:16, throne of grace. And he's ripping that veil so that we can walk right in all the time and receive this river of grace, this river of his life. It's there. It's ready. It's always there. And he says, in that culture, you've heard it said, you'll love your enemies and hate your enemies. I say to you, love your enemies. And that's what our daddy does. Even people that have deeply wounded him, he just... God has love on. He always has his love on towards them. Always forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. That's the key for him. Remember, Moses was leading this bunch of the Israelites. And I want to make a point that how you handle your anger is important to God. He's watching. We'll give account on that day before his throne. We'll give account for every idle work. So Moses is, and that's real. Like what I said is real. And even when I get really, really angry, I have this fear of God that is haunting me. You can't let all of that out, Ken. That, didn't you feel that when you're angry? Like, you can't just like spew. Anyway, Moses had an anger problem, and he gives them water from the rock. Everybody's satisfied. Woohoo! They get thirsty again. They can't say, "Hey, could we have more water? God, we need water. We trust you to..." No. They start grumbling and griping about Moses, and Moses gets offended, and he says, I should just read it. He says, so Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he was told to do, and he and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels." And he resorts to name calling. Like, this isn't good. Name calling isn't good. In Matthew 5:22, Jesus says, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. If you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. If you say, "You fool," if you name call, you're liable to the hell of fire. So sometimes I don't think it sinks in on us how handling our anger is important to God. And he watches what we do with it. And this is a fear. I have more and more of a fear. Like, I tend to be a hider. Christina has more words. And the Lord's just really convicted me. My hiding and separating is not okay with him. It's not more righteous than some... Hiders are not more righteous than T-Rexes. So how we handle our anger, he's looking for us to be ready to forgive and to keep our love on and keep pursuing relationship, even when it's hard. Like, we never have permission to... No, Danny Silk says, you turn your love switch on and then you break the switch. You never have permission to turn your love on. We never have permission. I'll get more into that in a minute. Anyway, so Moses starts belittling them. And Jesus warns against that. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? And then Moses lifted up his hand, struck the rock twice. Water came out abundantly. They were all satisfied to drink. But God has a problem with Moses. Hey, Moses, because you have not believed me. This is really important. Sometimes we can let resentment eat up our faith in what that other person can become. And we burn the bridges of hope that they might have someday to come over and into change. Sometimes those expectations of, they hurt me, I'm expecting it again. When's the next one gonna? That resentment can actually keep you from seeing ways that they're changing. Like they may have changed 30% and you're still locked on to how they haven't changed. And there's no faith in that for them to move, make movement and grow. God always has faith in us that we're changing. We're changing. He's always inviting us in faith. Come on. I believe in you. I still believe in you. He never identifies us as our sin. Right? That we screw up, you know, he never calls, no matter what I screw up, let's say he finds some pride in me. You arrogant jerk. Like, he doesn't call me by my sin. Conviction is this sweet invitation to change, even when he confronts me with conviction. So Moses had no faith for Israel to change, and God says, that's not okay with me. That's really important. To treat me as holy in the sight of Israel. So because of that, you don't get to go to the promised land. What does it mean, treat God as holy? It means every one of us is a representative of the innocence of God. So how old is God? How many times has he been hurt? Has he become resentful and jaded? No, he still stays innocent. You know, like kids, one of the reasons they're so soft and trusting is because they haven't been hurt like you and I have been hurt. But the sad thing is, we have the oil of Olay for our souls to go back to a pristine state of childlikeness, like those kids, like those children. And it's that power of forgiveness, it's the grace to forgive. We're going to do some of that at the end. God wants us to represent that to the world, this innocence that he has. Yeah. I know it's kind of a smorgasbord, but the Lord is showing me about Jonah, too, about this, and the way Jonah handled his anger. When God wanted Jonah to go preach to Nineveh, I'm pretty sure at least was part racial prejudice, because the Jews felt like they, and I'm not denigrating, I had to come out of that myself, but they had not been treated well, the Jews, and so there's some racial, you know, the whole mindset is we're the God's chosen, and then everybody else, we hope they get judged. And so he was really not wanting God to have mercy on Nineveh. In fact, he says, that's why I left. So he's really upset when God doesn't punish Nineveh, when God relents. And isn't that sometimes how we, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but we kind of, when we get hurt, we kind of wish they would get what's coming to them, right? We'd like to see them punished. And that's what Jonah was doing. And Jonah says, this, you not punishing Nineveh, was very displeasing to Jonah. And he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to, that's why he took the boat to try to get away. Because he knew God's going to, listen to what he says about God. I knew you were a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And the very nature of our Father is not a punisher. He doesn't enjoy, he doesn't want to punish. He wants to forgive. And the Lord, so then the Lord starts helping Jonah with his anger. And I know this, I don't have time to develop this little rabbit trail. But God didn't, you notice he didn't lecture Jonah. Lecturing someone, to my, it doesn't work. But questions do. God did it with Job too. Questions. Like if you're, you'll often hear me, like if we're one-on-one, there'll be a pause and I'll tell you, I'm trying to think of a really good question. Because I can't, it would, just to go down and say, well, you did this wrong, look, see, and you did this wrong, and did that, that ain't going to do. It's almost like we need questions when we go to confront people. We need to have this, these creative questions, and God will help us too. And anyway, it's one of four goals of confrontation that I don't have time to develop, maybe another time. But try to think of questions. Everything in me wants to lecture, right? Am I just the one? The only one? And I'm not a T-Rex. I don't have a lot of words. But when I get around to it, I'd like to give them a couple of paragraphs. Look, you need to do this, 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 this. No. God starts to ask questions. He says, is it right for you to be angry? No. Why? And you're starting to try to, you're trying to ask questions. You're biting your tongue. So, the main point I want to make with Jonah is that that desire to punish, we can't let that. In fact, I think it's a spirit of condemnation. Have you ever had the Lord, or no, had accusing thoughts come into your mind about your children or your spouse or a long-term relationship? Like, they are just da-di-da-da-da. Oh, they are just this or this or that. And the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, doesn't just accuse you. He'll accuse others to you. Anyway, off topic. So I want to pray into this about this grace to forgive. God wants to encourage us that there is grace to forgive. And that's sort of the bumper sticker for today. Grace to forgive on your refrigerator magnet. Grace to forgive. Because, you know, the grace of God is the power of God. And so there is power flowing from him for us to forgive. Colossians 3, 13 through 14 says, bear with one another if anyone has a complaint against another. And then there's this release of, there's this impartation. Forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. So I don't like to, it's not the, like God is saying, aha, you're not forgiving like me. You need to try harder. White knuckle it. Come on, grunt, groan, cry, weep. You know, that's not what he's talking about. It's an infusion of his nature in us. That's why I was, you know, he's talking about loving your enemies is connected to being a daughter and a son. So we're talking about this DNA that's in us of forgivers. We are forgivers. We don't just forgive. It's who we are. Because daddy is ready to forgive. Daddy's always ready to forgive. He doesn't want to punish. That essence is in us. So forgiveness, listen to this. Forgiveness is not a matter of your feeling. It's a matter of faith. Forgiveness is a matter of faith. If I was struggling with, let's say, if I had huge credit card debt because I love the thrill of having an Amazon box on my front porch, and I'm $10,000, $15,000, and I love these. I just got these new tennis shoes, and I can't wait. Do you run? No, I don't run or anything, but I love the way they look. You know that thrill of getting something new? And someone prayed with me, and we realized it's a spirit. I'm allowing a spirit of greed. This is an idol. I break down that idol, and Satan comes back, and I feel like to tempt me, and I feel like going online with my credit card and getting some more shoes. Would you say, yeah, as long as you're feeling it, you have to follow your heart? We wouldn't say that. We would say, in faith, you need to take a stand that you are dead to that, because that is real. That is real. That's reality. And so forgiveness is the same. It works the same way. It's a faith. The initial step is a faith step. It's not a feeling step. We can forgive because of this grace flowing from our daddy. We can forgive as we've been forgiven. Is that clock right? It's 10:05. I mean 11:05. Awesome. I will get to really pray into this. There's grace here to let go of some stuff, to get some stuff out of our garage today and let some of this stuff go. Because it is a fight of faith. That's the point I was making. It's a fight for faith. Like, we don't give up because we don't feel it. Man, you don't know how hard it is to forgive them. Well, probably everybody in this room has had a really, really painful hurt from somebody. So it is. I know it's hard. That's why we need grace. Grace, grace, grace. You can put your faith in the grace of God. Well, Christina has a testimony about this that she shared publicly, so I know it's okay. There was someone that had really belittled her early in our marriage. And it was real. I was there. I thought, man, that's bad. Made her feel like they're better than them. Kind of like the way we're raising our kids is wrong. And it was a... Anyway. And these very people got in touch with Micah when Micah was still living here. And invited, you've got to come move to our city. Come be with us here. And it felt to Christina, like, now they're trying to steal my son. Kind of a thing. It's this hurt on top of another hurt. And her testimony was, she just went, like, made a decision. I forgive you. And, you know, like, as though they were standing there, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I release you for my judgment and my evaluation. Father, I receive your grace and your cleansing from my anger and my resentment towards them. Forgive me for holding them in any way in my own judgment. And, you know, give me your picture of how you see them. In that short process, she wasn't hurt for days. It like in an hour, she was feeling so free and loving and has this wonderful relationship with them to this day. The point I'm saying is that slow, you know, it's an onion. You have to peel it back. We don't know how many layers are here. We may be here all day. And it doesn't mean that as you go deeper into God, sometimes a root will show up that you thought you took care of. And you just take care of it again. But this long term, like, some of that is like, what am I willing to let go of, really? So I want to pray into this. And there's a process I want to pray through. This is a great phrase that the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's as though, Ken, it's as though you're not old enough to have become jaded with hurt and grudge holding. That's what he was saying to us. You may be in your 60s or 70s, you may be in your 50s, but you're not old enough to be jaded and cynical in relationships. Come on. Just encouraging us. Because forgiveness is the key to keeping an innocent, tender, childlike heart. I had a picture of Corrie Ten Boom. Remember Corrie Ten Boom? I wished I had her picture. Because when you look at her eyes, you don't see in her face. There's no, you know, someone that's bitter, how their face kind of hardens. You look like you're looking at an 80-year-old child when you look at Corrie Ten Boom. It's like, but when you think about what she had to overcome, you know, the Germans, the Nazis killed her mother, father, sister, and others. Remember the story? She became an evangelist in Europe, and the German soldier that oversaw them at the prison camp walks up to her. He doesn't recognize her, but she immediately recognizes him. And he says, do you think God can forgive me? Of course, she's not struggling with God forgiving him. At that point, it's, can I forgive this man? And in that moment, she just released all of that to God. God, I forgive. And she could say with purity, yes, God can forgive you. So ain't nobody here that's been through that kind of pain. And there's grace. Why? It's because she's, oh, Corrie Ten Boom, you know, she has a special relationship with God. And no. It's the power of our daddy in us. It's his power. Father, right now, we release that. We believe in that grace. We believe in the grace to forgive. Let's declare that to our ears. We believe in the grace to forgive. Say it to your heart. Some of us have really hopeless places, and we need to hear ourselves declare this. Ready? We believe in the grace to forgive. Yeah. Thank you. So I want to do a three-part. This is a little process that I go through. When I've been hurt or I get angry, is first of all, my faith declaration is though that person were standing in front of me, I'll say it, Billy. Billy, I'm not calling him on the phone and doing this. It's me declaring this in the spirit realm. Billy, right now I forgive you from my judgment and valuation of you. I forgive and I release my anger. I release you from my opinion that you did something wrong. And I let go of any judgment I've made towards you. Just by faith, Father, in your presence, I release that. And then the second step, it's a faith declaration. It's not feeling. I don't feel like forgiving. But after you've eaten enough of that resentment arsenic, that don't sit well with me. So, and then number two is receive Jesus' grace. I let myself sense the flow of his empowerment. And sometimes, even if I'm not feeling it right away, I'll say, I receive your cleansing flow of grace from my anger. Wash away all the anger, Jesus. And then the third step would be to get heaven's perspective. Father, what is your view of this person or this situation? I need to see this person from your perspective. Now, I know I'm compressing this into a short amount of time. If it's a deep, deep pain, then sometimes I have to go get prayer with someone. So I get that. But I wanted to kind of pray through it today anyway. And I probably should just email you those three little steps so you don't have to hurry up and write them down. I'll send out an email so you can pray and not worry about writing. So Holy Spirit, we do acknowledge your presence here. And then could you just surrender to his love? If there's anything I've said that's made you feel stupid or feel bad, that's not me, and it's not Jesus. That's the main thing, it's not Jesus. So we welcome your affection and your love and your peace. We want this to be a safe place right here. Holy Spirit, we thank you. And then, as I'm speaking, some of you will know already who you need to forgive. But if it doesn't come to mind, you don't have to dig around to find somebody. Invite the Holy Spirit to run through the filing cabinet of your memories and say, Holy Spirit, examine me. Is there anybody I need to forgive? I'm going to pause just before we do anything else and let that person come to mind that you need to forgive and get free from. We welcome. Oh, he's good. Yeah, more light. Jesus, we need more light. Spirit of revelation. And then, when you can see their face, could you just, as though they were standing right in front of you, right there, just say, right into their eyes, so-and-so, I forgive you, and I release you from my judgment and anger. Yeah, sometimes I have opinions about them that I need to surrender. And God, I just surrender that opinion that so-and-so is this way, that they're that way. More grace, more of your grace right here. Dr. Jesus, removing these tumors of resentment out of our heart. We just welcome your soul surgery with us today. Could be someone you've already forgiven, but like I said, sometimes as you go deeper in the Lord, another part of a root gets exposed. It's happened to me before. And then the Lord wants to remove that at a deeper level. So you can still go there. Don't worry about, I thought I took care of that. Just follow the Holy Spirit. He's pretty safe. And then just receive. Yeah, open your heart. God, I receive your flow of grace. Cleanse my heart from this anger and resentment. Thank you for your power to forgive. And let... there's going to be surges of, it could feel like peace or it could feel like freedom and joy. That's his grace to just let go, just let go. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for grace, 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 grace. We humble ourselves before you. We want to be like you, Father. We want to be like you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, more, 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 more. Thank you, Jesus. I would go on to the third step, but the Lord's pestering me about someone that specifically the person that offended you spoke words, very painful words and accusation against you. And right now, I just want to pull those words out of you. They're not true. And right now, where those words went into your soul, Jesus is just releasing a sweet anointing, like soothing anointing in those wounds. Mm-hmm. And there's an antidote for the poison that those words have. Because you start thinking of yourself like what they said. And the Lord says, I'm going to wash away that poison of those words. They're just a sweet cleansing anointing right here. To take away the effect of those words. And then usually I would go on to this third part, but could you just ask Daddy right now, Father, oh, I know they said that, but what do you say about this? And just ask him. Instead of the words of accusation, what would you say about me, Daddy? Ask him. Take about 30 seconds so you can listen to what he's saying. And we're going to go to that third step. Thank you, Father. And then the third part of this process we're in would be asked, Father, how do you see my offender, this person that offended me, hurt me? Could you show me the way you view them? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your freedom, Jesus, that you're the chain breaker. Can we just stand before him? And we just want to make some faith declarations, because I know some of those chains leave, they chafe and they leave some scar tissues. So we just want to there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. It's an all sufficient, it's an all sufficient sacrifice. So freely given at such a price for our redemption. Now heaven's gates swing wide. It's an all sufficient sacrifice, so free.
presence coming in this room. We feel your presence coming. There is freedom in the name. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every, oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Do you remember that last part? There's an army rising up. That's us. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Yeah, we want that grace. We want that grace. Yeah, Father, we thank you for the grace, not just enough grace, power to set ourselves free, but we thank you for enough grace to set others free this week. Let just be a freedom cloud around us. Just be a freedom anointing atmosphere that we carry. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Infuse us with power. Make us a witness of the power of Jesus this week. You know, this forgiveness thing is a Christian thing. You know that. Like, nobody can live the Christian life without the grace of God, and that comes because of the blood of Jesus. So what I taught today, that process, that three-step process, you can't do that without Jesus. So there, the inference is there's a lot of people don't even know the resources that we take for granted.